city for the first time. Vijaya, my wife, is sitting right here. And we count it a privilege to be able to worship with all of you this morning. As you were told, we live in Greenville, South Carolina. And we've been serving there for the past 10 years. I told Pastor that I'll be doing three things this morning in the time that I have. First of all, very briefly, I'll share about our testimony. Then we will tell about what kind of ministry we are doing. And then a major part of time will be given to the Word of God. And so going to the testimony side of my sharing, I'm born in pastor's family. My dad had been a Christian Missionary Alliance minister all his lifetime. And I was born, we were six siblings, and I'm number five in the family. And 1957, the church, Christian Missionary Alliance Church, became financially independent in India. Until then, the funds always came from U.S., as most of the mission organizations do. And 1957, our denomination decided that we will not depend upon the help from outside, but we would rather support our own ministry. And those days, my dad happened to be in a very small congregation, and the funds were stopped. And next month on, it was expected that the church would support the pastor. And then my dad started receiving very small salary. And we were six kids, mom and dad, family of eight, small salary. And so I always thought that ministry is poverty. That's how we grew up. And so all, we are four brothers, two sisters, and we thought it's always good to do something else rather than serving God, because if you want to be poor, then you should serve the Lord. And so because of this, we decided that we will study, we will do something else, but never, ever we will enter into full-time ministry. But I want to tell you, both my sisters were married to ministers. And the oldest brother, all his life he has worked with the leprosy mission in India. The brother next to him is a pastor. I am the pastor. And the youngest one is a Baptist minister in Atlanta, Georgia. You know, God's ways are higher than our ways. What we think, God does not think that way. He has greater plans. He has higher plans for all of us. And so even though I thought that serving the Lord was not a good thing, and so I said, God has been speaking to me about the ministry. And so I made commitment to the Lord. I said, God, I'm willing to serve you, but I'll work in a mission organization where at least there is a guaranteed salary. Not in the church, but I'll work for some denomination where they will pay me month by month. I'll have my support. And then in my evenings or weekends, I will do whatever I can. And so I came that much close to serving the Lord. But you know, God was using me. I was in a seminary called Union Biblical Seminary. And then I worked in seminary on the staff for 5 years. And over the weekend, I was serving the Lord. But then there was a time when God really made that clear that I should resign that job and start serving him. So by faith, and that was the time we got married, and by faith I resigned that secure job and then came to Bombay and began our ministry. We began with church planting. By God's grace, we started, we planted five congregations there in Bombay. God in his goodness took us to Calgary, Canada. There we work among the Punjabi Sikh people, and there we were able to establish a congregation among them. And then last 10 years, God has placed us in Greenville, South Carolina. Here in Greenville, our mission is mainly, even though I'm on a pastoral staff of a church, but our main mission is to work with the Indian people. And average Indian people, they are not Christian. There are very few who are Christians, but most of the people that you see who have businesses, gas stations, convenience stores, motels, and all that, all these people who are involved in businesses, they are non-Christians. They do not know the Lord. And so that was the burden that God has placed upon our heart. And to reach out to them, we are here. So that is the main purpose why we are in the United States. And because I have been working with one particular church denomination, I realized that we had some limitation. The moment you said that you work with X church, then I noticed that there is sort of barrier that, okay, you, your ministry, your church, that's good for there. And so of late, God has laid upon our hearts a new vision. And as we are working with our church, we have registered a small ministry called Exist India. And I have some literature. I forgot to ask if that was okay for me to use that, which I can have one. And so we very recently we have started that work, that ministry. And I have got some ministry information as to what we do. And if you are interested, you can take somebody. Like, this is so new, and we had very limited resources. So friend of mine who is a printer, he has done this for free for us. And so if only you want it, please take, because we don't have too many copies to just give away. Okay? But what we do is personal and friendship evangelism. We're to find people. Saturday, Sunday is a good time when we go to Walmart or any other public places where people shop, and we don't have to shop all the time, but still I put few things in a trolley and walk around in the aisles and try to make contacts. And that's how we've started making our initial contacts. And so we continue to do that evangelism, contact people. If they are willing, exchange addresses, invite them home. My wife prepares meals for them, and we built up the friendship and then share the gospel. We also have weekly Bible study. Friday night, we have a meeting. If there is a non-Christian people, we have evangelistic Bible study. If believers come, then we have a regular Bible study for them. And then we also do evangelistic outreach. We invite somebody or singing group or something that would attract non-Christian people and do a concert or something, but make sure that we share the gospel. Even Christmas time, we use some children to do Christmas play and involve non-Christian people so that they get to hear the word of God. We also conduct seminars on Hinduism. These are the seminars are for Christian people, for them to know what Hinduism is all about and how to approach them and how to share gospel in a way that they will be able to understand. So for that, we need to understand where they come from, what is their culture, what is their understanding about God and things like that. And so we conduct seminars. So first we teach about Hinduism and then how to approach these Hindus with the gospel of Christ. And so this is new, but so far we have done a few seminars in select churches in our cold vicinity. So God has given us that. And through this ministry, we also do something in India. We conduct special meetings in some churches, retreats for men, women, and youth, seminars for pastors and leaders, ministry in orphanage and slums. And we also, like last summer we were in India, we helped a church to start their preschool. And we had collected a little donation from various friends. And we gave to that church so that they will be able to carry on the ministry of preschool, because through that preschool, parents bring their children, parents, non-Christian parents, and then church has the opportunity to have contact with them and share the word of God with them. And so this is where we are. If you are interested, my wife has got some brochures, and you can approach us, and we'll be glad to give you more information. And so now we will turn to the word of God. I think time-wise I'm doing all right now. Okay. Thanks. So let us open our Bibles to the scripture portion that our pastor read for us, Luke chapter 19. I'm sure you heard many, many sermons on this scripture portion. But since we are involved in evangelism and reaching out people, I thought along with you, we will look at this scripture portion from that standpoint as to what was the approach of Jesus Christ when he met an unsaved man and how he responded to various things and how he approached him with the gospel and what was the response of this man. So from those angles, we are going to look at this scripture portion. And so the chapter opens up telling us that Jesus went into Jericho, and when he was passing through, there was a man there by the name of Zacchaeus, and he was a chief tax collector, and he was wealthy. So he was a chief tax collector, and that means he was above other people, or so many people worked under him, or maybe he was in charge of a district or something like that. And who knows, perhaps he rose to that position by some other means that were not right. But anyhow, he got that higher position, maybe because of his corruptions or payoff or something. But long story short, Bible says he was wealthy. One good thing I see about him is that no matter what his background was, but Bible tells us that he wanted to see Jesus. Wonderful desire. He wanted to see Jesus. I'm sure people were talking about Jesus, and he must have heard about Jesus. And so there was curiosity in his heart and mind, and he wanted to see Jesus. I'm sure he just wanted to see Jesus. I don't think what happened, he was expecting that way to go, right? But he just had a desire that he wanted to see Jesus. People have various intentions for coming to Jesus. And many times in India when we share the gospel, sometimes people would say that, do you give money if we become Christians? That's the kind of understanding. Because, you know, olden days, missionaries helped poor people. People used to be poor. So churches donated clothes and blankets and things like that. And as an act of charity, those things were given to people. This was the goodness of American Christians. But the interpretation by some non-Christian people is that you give things so that people would become Christians. And so people have various limitations in coming to Christ because of their misunderstanding about Christianity. There is also another kind of people. There are so-called Christians who have not portrayed the right image of Christianity before others. And particularly like, for example, in Indian movies, the kind of Christian that is portrayed is someone who always drinks, goes to clubs and dances and things like that. So outside world people, when they think about Christians, since they do not know about Christians, they only think that Christians are who party, dance and drink and that kind of lifestyle. So because the Christianity has not been portrayed in a nice way, many people have misunderstanding and misconceptions about Christianity. Yesterday, I'm glad Pastor and some of your church people were there in John's home. There was one Hindu lady who was listening to my preaching very, very carefully. And after everybody gone, she requested us, can you please come and visit my home? And we, maybe at about, after 10 o'clock, we went to their house until about midnight, we were visiting. And you know, when I was preaching, I was looking at her. Her heart was open, and she was receiving everything. And after going to their house, they told us, or she told me rather, that she has never heard the gospel the way I was able to preach there. And so we went there to their house. And again, I use 5 points gospel, using my five fingers. And in a nutshell, again, we share the gospel to both of them. Because people are looking and they're searching. And many of them have some wrong information about Christianity. But talking to those people, she told us that they really liked it. And she would like to come to the church on Christmas Day. And most probably John and Archana might bring her to this church. Right? So we have done a little bit of planting of seed. And we will entrust that responsibility with you all. Because she might come back. They might come back to you on Christmas Day. There's a lot of people who do not know. But they have that desire, curiosity. They want to know more. As we minister, there is another thing we come across. Many people want to come to Jesus, but they are afraid of their family and community. Many times, if somebody comes to Jesus, their community will cut them off. And they say, okay, you have become Christians, you have nothing to do with us. And so their links with community will be broken. And many people do not want that to happen. And so they are scared that if I become Christian, if I start following the Lord, then maybe I will have no connection with my community or my society and I'll be cut off. And so because of that fear, many of them do not want to come to Jesus. But you know, Jesus always made sure that he would go to such people who were needy, who were hurting. Jesus was willing to go where the needy and hopeless and hurting people were there. Jesus was busy in his ministry, right? Always surrounded by people. He never said that, okay, if you have a question, come to my office. Morning 9 to 12, I'll be available. Right? He didn't say that. But always willing to go out, spend time. Even that meant time spending one-to-one, one-on-one with somebody. He was willing to do that because his concern was souls. You know, we need to go where the fish is. And our hearts should be open and willing to give our time or whatever it takes so that somehow we are able to touch the lives of other people with the love of Jesus. Now for Jesus, visiting a home of a tax collector was not appropriate, was not culturally right, because good people would not associate with them. Because a tax collector, Bible uses those words together, like sinners and tax collectors, right? So those were in that category. So good people would normally not go and eat with them or associate with them. But you know, Jesus knew that this person, even though other people do not like it, people grumbled or murmured when Jesus went to their house, to his house. But Jesus knew that this was a needy person. And he was willing to do this to win even a single soul into the kingdom of God. So you imagine that Jesus was there going with his disciples, all that crowd. Jesus was sitting up there in the tree. I always saw in the children's book that sort of that branch is lying so very low. And Zacchaeus is so obviously sitting. It may not be true perhaps. Maybe he was hiding in that tree. Because to become obvious to Jesus was not his aim. But somehow to have glimpse of Jesus, only that was his intention. So maybe that branch was not that low. He was not so very obvious. And maybe he was hiding. But when Jesus came to that spot, Jesus looked up at him and said, Zacchaeus, you come down immediately. Right? To his surprise, he became the focus of everybody. All the people looked in that direction to see who it was that Jesus was so much interested in and who was he calling. Jesus also said, come down immediately. There was a sense of urgency in his calling. Because, you know, people need to be saved and they should be saved now. So many people are getting lost and so there is a sense of urgency. Are you willing to do whatever it takes to be able to witness someone? So how did Jesus go about? I would say that Jesus befriended him first. Verses 5 to 7. Jesus called him by name. Right? So, Bible doesn't say that divinely he called out by his name. Somebody told him his name. Bible does not make it clear. But Jesus called him with his name. And when you address somebody with his name, that gives personal touch. Right? So Jesus called out, calling his name, and that is how he opened up his conversation or his interaction. You know, when Jesus called him by name, this reminds me, Jesus is the good shepherd. And that shepherd knows every sheep by its name. And that is true. That even though he was not popular, good people did not like him, but Jesus called him by his name. And Jesus offered to go to his house. Jesus took initiative. Normally we don't do this, right? I would not say to anybody, hey, I want to come to your house for lunch today. I don't think you'll like it, right? But Jesus took that initiative and he said, I want to come to your house. He took initiative when it comes to sharing the love of Christ, sharing the gospel of Jesus with someone. That ought to be our attitude, that we should take initiative in showing love and sharing love of Jesus with other people. And we can also say that Jesus identified himself with this man who was needy by going to his house. He identified. So getting to know the people, identifying with them is very, very important in order to win them. Many times, like, there are, in America, there are all kinds of nationality. People from everywhere has come. And somehow people of same kind flock together. And other people normally don't try to get into that crowd because we think, oh, they are different and I don't know who they are exactly. But Jesus identified himself with Zacchaeus by going to his house. Are you willing to get out of your comfort zone and be willing to identify yourself with the kind of people groups that are around here? I'm sure there are our kind of people also, like Indian people in your town, in your city. But not only Indians, there are all kinds of people who flock together, similar kind of people. But we need to take initiative, go where they are. Very quickly, third and last thing I'd like to mention, how Zacchaeus became a believer. And those are verses 8 to 10. Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, look, Lord, here and now, I give half of my possessions to the poor. And if I have cheated anybody out of anything, I'll pay back four times the amount. How he became a believer. He was willing to repent. And he was willing to set things right. Right there in the presence of the Lord. You know, to be able to stand up in front of so many people and confess this, it requires a lot of courage, right? But Zacchaeus was willing to do that. He became courageous. In midst of all those people, he stood up and he spoke what we just read from the Word of God. And he did not say, I will give sometimes when I have money or when it is possible. He said, Lord, I give. So the restitution began right at that time. Not postponing what he should do, But immediately he started acting on what was required to be done. Because he knew, perhaps the Old Testament, that the guilty person must confess his sin he has committed. And he should make full restitution. And he started doing that. And he was willing to pay back 4 times. You know, when Jesus came into his house, something started working in his heart. That's what happens when people, those who do not know the Lord, when they come closer in the presence of God, the love of God begins to penetrate in their hearts and into their being, and the transformation begins to take place. And he was a changed person. A greedy person all of a sudden became generous. The one who was finding ways of making more and more money no matter how, but he wanted to make money. Now all of a sudden when real transformation took place, he became a generous man. And he wanted to give half of his possession to poor people. He has complete change of heart and attitude. Because the Bible says if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. He becomes a new creation. God changes us and makes us new altogether. And he became a true descendant of Abraham by putting his trust in Jesus. And he believed in God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. You know, Lord delights in winning people who are hopelessly lost. He delights in saving them and winning them. One last illustration, and with that, I'll be through. When we served in Bombay, there was one man. He was a shopkeeper, and we often visited him. The acquaintance grew. He also started visiting us. And I began to share gospel with him. He was not Christian, but Hindu. And I started sharing gospel with him. And to start with, when I would share something from the Bible, he would tell that even in our religion, it is like this. So I'll share gospel with him. And he, in turn, would share something from his faith. And this was going on and on and on and on for a long time. But eventually, after 5 years or so, then he was willing to listen, but he never made commitment. Maybe I was doing this for about 8 years, trying to tell him about Jesus. And we had become good friends, but he had not accepted the Lord until we left Bombay and came to America. The pastor who came after me had the privilege of leading him to Christ. Just immediately next year. But so many years we toiled, for almost 8 years we toiled, and kept on sharing the gospel. Nothing happened. The pastor who came after me, he had so easy. He just visited him number of times. But by then, God, the Holy Spirit, had prepared his heart. And then that total transformation took place. And he made commitment to the Lord. You know, don't give up. Perhaps it might take years. It might take years. Perhaps it will not happen because you have done it. Maybe someone else will take over. But it doesn't matter. If one sows, if one waters, if one plants the seed, if one waters. But it is God who will give the growth. So don't worry. Don't be discouraged. But keep on doing the work that God has called us to do. You know, God has placed this church in this city. And I'm so glad that so many of you are part of this worship service, this church. God wants to use us to further his kingdom. And so let us not wait for people to come to us, right? Let us not wait that, okay, God, we pray many times, God, send somebody who is needy. No, let us not wait for them, but let us reach them out. Let us not wait to be invited, but rather invite ourselves to go with them and go to their houses or take them out for lunch or something like that. Invite yourself so that you will be able to touch the lives of people with the love of Jesus. Love changes people. And so let us continue to show Christ-like love as we approach people. You know, don't worry about our reputation. Let us not worry about our reputation, because the value of soul is greater than who you are, what your position is. Right? Go where the needy are. Go where the sinful are. Of course, we need to be very careful when we go to places where sinful people are. We still need to be firm in our faith and make sure that we don't become one like them, but maintaining our identity in Christ. Go where the need is and touch the lives of people. My heart's desire and prayer is that God will use this church so that how Jesus was so very sensitive with one person, and because of that he went, focused on him, and that man totally turned to the Lord. And my heart's desire is that God will use each individual. Or you might say, oh, I do not have the gifting. God doesn't say that those who have gifting go in all into the world and preach the gospel, right? Those who have gifting share the gospel. No. It is our responsibility. And so if you are willing, God will give you the enabling and the words that is necessary. May God bless you and use each one of us as channels of his grace and channels of his blessings. Thank you so much, sir.